What you're about to listen to is a very early recording of the 4F Film Review Podcast featuring myself, Shay, and my good friend, Eric. This episode was recorded before we had hosting, chemistry, on-mic skills, or even a proper name for the podcast. Please keep all of these things in mind and try to excuse any audio or flow issues that may occur as a result of listening to two bozos talk about movies and cut their teeth in the realm of podcast production. I guarantee you that it will at least be more entertaining than all of those podcasts hosted by celebrities that are neither funny nor interesting. Enjoy. It's Eric and Shay Watch Movies, Episode 2.
We're here again.
We're doing it again. We watched... we didn't watch Armageddon. We watched Armageddon last week. We watched Independence Day.
Yeah, we decided to stick with summer blockbuster, which Stopper My Mom Will Shoot didn't quite fit into that.
What do you mean? That movie didn't make millions of dollars?
Well, I mean, it did, but it wasn't... It didn't get quite the level of fanfare, despite being a Sylvester Stallone.
Star power galore, yeah. In that movie.
There's actually a really funny story that apparently, Stallone and Schwarzenegger were both going after the same parts like all the time at that in that era,
and Schwarzenegger said no, I don't want that one.
Schwarzenegger, he did a feint where he was like, I'm going after stuff or my mom will shoot.
Psych.
And he didn't really want to do it, and he ended up doing Kindergarten Cop instead.
Well, okay.
Which was a success.
I have seen Kindergarten Cop. I have not seen Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. So I feel like we need to, at some point, maybe watch those both back.
Yeah, I've kind of seen both of them.
Okay.
But I don't believe I've ever really sat down and watched Kindergarten Cop, in full. So.
Okay, so we'll get that one in there. We do need to, at the end of the episode, decide what we're watching for next week, so I'm not announcing off-platform, as they say in the biz, what we're going to be watching, so people can watch next week. Eric and Shay will watch something,
yes,
which we will decide some point.
But we're here to talk about the possible annihilation of humanity, but
first we have to talk about Independence Day.
Well, yes, I was alluding to that.
I thought you were talking about the other thing.
Oh, no.
That'll happen later. Independence Day, starring Will Smith, Bill Pullman, and Jeff Goldblum, and then some other people.
Yeah, Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid was in it. There were some female actors.
Who great consequence, of course.
They were as ancillary as female characters can be. It was almost as though they were in the movie as a courtesy to women.
It's the 90s, you know.
Women didn't exist in the 90s.
No.
They were pretty rare.
Kinda, yeah. Pretty much.
Ways. Did you like this movie? You saw this movie when it was in theaters.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Did you like it then? Do you like it now?
That's a good question. because even in thinking about this movie, I don't remember this movie fondly in that was a good movie sense, because if you think about it too much, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But it's summer blockbuster, it's a popcorn movie,
right?
And hey, there's whose side are you on? Aliens or aliens who just irrationally want to kill everybody and presumably take over the planet?
It wasn't irrational. They had a reason for it. They said in the movie they were taking the planet's natural resources and moving on.
Right. That's correct. Yes. They wanted our wonderful
natural resources.
Which is really a jerk thing to do.
Those are our resources. You can't just come on to our... And we did see an Israel-Palestine conflict resolved over the course of this movie. Maybe aliens and humans could have also overcome their differences.
Was it resolved? I mean, there was kind of a head nod for about three quarters of a second.
if you haven't seen Independence Day or you don't know what I'm talking about, there is a scene near the end of the movie where they're all deciding to everyone's setting aside their differences. They're preparing to do the attack on the alien ships. And there's a moment where they show some Palestinian or they show some Israeli troops,
pilots,
doing something, and then right after they show some Palestinian troops, like kind of doing a little head nod, right. It's like, all right, I guess that's that solved. You know, it's been 30 years since this movie was shot, and we're still talking about this.
Yeah, it's, you know, but
enough about world.
You know, if you're threatened by an evil alien menace, you know, sometimes, you know, you come together. And have to just unite against it. It's,
yeah.
It was a sign of the times. It was the 90s.
What do you think it would have been like for humans, just as a whole, to just have people come onto your land and start saying, this is our land now?
Yeah. I can't imagine any other parallels
at
all. No,
there's nothing out there.
Again, it was the 90s.
It's all getting cut. Anyway, let's talk about Independence Day. So I think that, and we're going to get into this a little bit more later on. I think there is some value to these like entertainment movies that have virtually no artistic merit whatsoever. They're not trying to give you some like crazy complicated message mixed with metaphor and all this sort of stuff.
And
it's like, just a big dumb movie.
And some pretense like, oh, we might win an Oscar for like even visual effects or something like that, which I don't believe it did, which is a little surprising. But you're not going to win like cinematography. Even like the soundtrack is really like good for this. They had a full orchestra of like 90... you know, a 90-piece orchestra, you know.
Wow.
So, yes, which is not nothing.
This movie did win some, or it won an award. It was nominated for another. It was, it won Best Visual Effects and was nominated for Best Sound.
Okay. All right. It did win visual effects.
Visual effects is an interesting one, because I commented a couple of times during the movie that the explosions were maybe, they hadn't aged super well. But you pointed out, Eric, that there were some models that they used of, like, the White House, and they blew that thing up. And that did look pretty damn cool.
Yeah. Well, it's the problem of the explosions being real and being rendered against like CGI at the time, and that just doesn't translate well. But the explosions themselves, blowing up buildings, they were pretty
cool.
Everyone
loves a good building explosion, a good car flipping over.
This film definitely got sold on the destruction of the White House. That was like in the trailer, you know, a couple months out, and everybody was like, oh, that looks so cool. I'm totally seeing that.
And this was the 90s, you know, that was when kids were emulating the violence they saw on TV and video games. Like,
obviously.
Some kid saw that. I'm going to go blow up the White House.
I mean, obviously, that's what we all tried to do.
There was definitely a little bit of government conflict with this movie, because you had mentioned before we started watching that the Army pulled out of participation with this movie over the discussion of Area 51, which I think is interesting.
Yes, I thought that was really interesting. There was apparently, like, because the U.S. Army generally is portrayed in a pretty positive light throughout the film, but they were set to like lend them vehicles and planes to use or whatever, and they ended up not doing that because they had the discussion of Area 51, and the Army wanted them to drop that, and the producers fought and said, no, we're keeping that in, and so the Army pulled out.
The Army's like, we're not doing this.
Yeah, I know.
On the bright side, I mean, it's not as though they didn't put their $75 million budget to good use. Like, I was commenting on how I'm kind of surprised it only cost that much money.
Yeah. I mean,
this movie
made
$800 million or whatever at the box office.
Now, granted, that's, at the time, that's still a really big budget.
It's a big movie, but it's
not like... But it was also, it was positioned to make Goo Gobs more than that. And it certainly did. It was the second biggest film of all time at that moment. Yes. Only Jurassic Park, which was a few years earlier, had done better.
Perhaps that will be the movie we watch next week.
Maybe.
Question mark?
I don't know.
Stay tuned to the end of this thing to find out. That's the most important reason you want to keep listening at this point.
Yeah, I know.
Armageddon, by the way, because I can't stop comparing the two, and I realize that's kind of our own fault for watching them back to back like we did, but Armageddon cost $140 million, almost double what this movie cost.
Yeah.
And I would say it was twice, three, four times as bad of a movie as Independence Day.
Well, I mean, let's see. It was, yeah, they. I mean, with Independence Day, they made about, like, geez, about 11 times their budget, because it was like...
Oh, I was told there would be no math.
Yeah, yeah, that's back of that envelope. I can do that.
Okay.
But yeah, they only made like 5 or 6x with Armageddon.
Three times, 3.5 times.
Yeah, exactly.
Times.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
So, epic failure. That my movie only made $550 million.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the point?
So I want to talk about the fact that I liked this movie, because I didn't expect to going into it, because I'm so Armageddon-pilled that I'm just like, oh, big, dumb Hollywood blockbuster nonsense movie about space that came out within 2 years of this other one. This one's also 145 freaking minutes long.
Well, I think this ultimately, the part of the appeal to this is it does bring out your inner jingoism. Your love for America that wants us to, like,
because
you know, kind of do something.
They're fighting against something. There's an alien. It's not just a giant rock
hurtling right,
towards space.
Right.
Like, because at the end of that movie, I just wanted everyone to die.
And classically in American military fashion, the enemies tend to be pretty black and white. So this works out pretty good in that sense.
No pun intended.
In terms of appealing to our... jingoism and yeah, there. So America wins, and not only does America win,
the world wins,
but the world wins because they listen to America. And then now going forward, everybody's going to celebrate July 4th. So
because
yeah.
We took back our independence from.
Aliens.
Well, they weren't ruling over us, though. They were just
It doesn't exactly work. I mean, they do correctly frame it that they're fighting against annihilation.
But this is what you mean when you say don't think about this movie too much, because then it just stops making sense like pretty
correct,
fast.
Correct. But you know, but ultimately, and actually, this is a one. Common theme, actually, positively, I suppose, from Armageddon, that I bet we would see a theme or, you know, echoed in other summer blockbusters is the kind of the triumph of the blue collar man. Ultimately, Randy Quaid, the crank who had been abducted by aliens. Nobody believes him.
His kids are like, oh, dad, you suck. You're
yeah,
drunk.
He's driving the family around in a mobile home, and, you know, has presumably an alcohol problem.
They live in Barstow, California.
Yeah.
You know, the worst place in the world.
Exactly.
Let me ask you
a question.
He
ultimately is the savior for humanity.
Do you think that Randy Quaid was abducted by aliens?
I believe that's undeniable. I mean,
oh, you think? Yeah,
I mean, for
you
sure.
Don't act that way unless you've been probed. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah. Well, maybe not. But I mean, in this
probed
world where
makes you a deadbeat dad.
Where aliens definitely exist, and they definitely the same aliens visited in, you know, Roswell or whatever. That was canonical.
So they abducted him while they were visiting.
So, well, presumably they made other visits, because, okay, that was the 80s. That was the mid-80s when Randy Quaid's
characters... Yeah, 1986, Randy Quaid abducted by aliens.
Correct.
Yeah, we know this.
So, you know, they've been doing scouting missions before they send the big mothership.
That makes sense.
You know, this is they got to have an advance crew.
I did think it was a little weird that they were giving the aliens, like, kind of personalities almost. They kind of stopped short of really going for it and giving them a proper motivation beyond just, we're taking your resources and moving on. But there was a scene where the alien took over the brain of Data from Star Trek.
Brent Spiner.
Brent Spiner, yes, thank you. And he just seemed, like, really aggro.
Well, I mean, it was a situation where... these humans that, I mean, presumably they did not look very fondly at us, that we're trying to imprison him, I don't want to presume the alien's
gender.
Yeah,
thank you for, yeah, we have to be politically correct when talking about the
I don't,
plot and the events of Independence
Day. I don't want
Day.
Aliens to...
Let's move on from that and talk about, I don't know, anything else I think would be fine. What... I don't know. What else is there to say about this movie? I think that it's like, it was pretty good. And I think that kind of leads
into... It was entertaining.
Yeah.
And there's some, like you were speaking to earlier, there is a room for entertaining movies that, you know, you don't have to think about, that, you know, you don't have to justify and say, oh, that was really good. No, it wasn't really good. It was fine. Don't need to think about it, but it made you feel good. And like,
I did feel good at the end when they shot the plane or the ships down, and they were all celebrating back on Earth, and it was like, all right,
the
president's
people around
happy,
the world,
his daughter's still alive, and
also shooting them down. It's great. Humanity's saved.
You know, like my wife's dead, your dad's dead, but we're happy. We're good.
Yeah, I know. There's enough of us that are hanging on, and we know we got the mothership because, you know, Will Smith is the best pilot in the world.
They nuked Houston, so that's a win.
You know. Sorry, Houston.
Hey,
it's already been paved over everything by the oil industry, so now it might be an improvement.
Parking lot town.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, I do think that this movie is entertaining, as you say, and that there is room for that. Not every movie needs to make a big artistic statement. So in that sense, why does this movie work so much better than Armageddon? Why do you think that is? Is it just is it just a better idea?
I think so. I think that there is also they both have an issue of trying to have too many characters.
There's a lot of paid actors in this movie. A lot of lines being
thrown
out there.
But I think there's less pretense made about us growing an attachment to these people because they don't have.
Did you not feel attached to the Jeff Goldblum character by the end?
The very main peoples. Yeah. Will Smith, Jeff Goldblum. I care about them. I care about the president, I suppose.
President Pullman.
Yeah. But I don't really trust any of the people around him. So,
no, they're all scumbags. Government scumbags.
Yeah, including the press secretary, who was Jeff Goldblum's. Well, he's still married to her. It's complicated.
No, they're divorced. They're divorced. He's still wearing the wedding ring.
Okay,
it's not healthy. Remember,
all right, but they definitely allude to you left me for him, and it's like.
But they make a point to say, well, for your career. Like, there's nothing going on between the president and the press secretary.
There's no love triangle that's going on there.
No,
they never
explicitly state it, so you know
must
be true.
There is an uneasy tension when the three of them are in the same room.
That's because Jeff Goldblum punched him before he was the president.
Well, that's true, but, you know,
reasons.
But he's also Jeff Goldblum. He's
the smartest man in the world.
And he's also, it's 1996, so he is one of the sexiest men in the world.
Can you imagine leaving Jeff Goldblum for President Pullman?
No, not
that
at all.
But that's why I think there's nothing going on. But
she said that she's after ambition, and he had the ambition to want to be president of the United States.
So nothing else is good enough.
So apparently, if women say they're going to be ambitious, you might want to start running for office or something to demonstrate, you know, your value, I suppose. This is relationship advice.
I'm pausing to write this down.
Are you grabbing any applications for city council?
Well, I have already started my campaign for state senator, but you have notably not supported me in that initiative. You keep saying, oh, you're not really doing that. And I say, no, I am. It's true. And now here we are talking about it again, and I still feel like you're not taking me seriously.
What are your policy planks?
That's not a topic for this show. I don't know. Independence Day. This is a cool movie. It's not great. It's worth watching once. I am not going to own this movie.
And like you said, as to like enjoying the movie, this is a thing I vividly do remember seeing this in the theater. And
talk,
like,
about the theater going experience.
Exactly. It was bad. I mean, the theater's packed. It was sold out, which, you know, they like sold out the first several weekends.
There was nothing else to do in the 90s.
Yeah, it was 1996. Yeah, the initial grunge wave had faded.
Grunge was over. Let's go see Independence
Day.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
You know, so yeah, Independence Day was out. So yeah, packed theater, and everybody, and like Will Smith is at the height of his popularity, or his ascendant popularity. This, like,
this kind of solidified it. This
solidifies it and sets him on an upward trajectory where, oh, he's like, he ends up owning July 4th movies. He's got, he has like Wild Wild West after this, and
Concussion.
A Concussion.
Noted patriotic
exactly.
film.
Exactly. And several other, like, he's got, you know, he becomes a huge star after this film.
Because I keep saying this movie was fine, this movie was okay, this movie was pretty good. But Will Smith, like, he really did have kind of a standout performance. He's, like, he was good in this.
Yes. He's given all the spots for all the one-liners. Like, there are moments in this movie that pop. What the first one I explained to you is the dog escaping from,
yes,
from an explosion. Good old Boomer
Sooner
escapes harm. That I remember everybody in the theater applauding for that. And another one of the next moment that was exactly like that was after Will Smith successfully shoots down or manages to make the alien craft, one of them, crash land, and he and it opens up and the alien's gonna come out, and he punches him and says, welcome to earth.
It was awesome.
And yes, everybody. Oh, yes, yes.
I mean, I popped for that. I mean, we're just watching it in my basement.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
That was awesome. I would have
been
excited if I was alone for that.
Right. I mean,
I might watch it alone later.
I wouldn't blame you. Will you get jiggy with it?
You know, we were discussing whether this was pre or post Jiggy, and I didn't know. And you said it was pre, so apparently Jiggy was after this.
That's correct. I don't know if he had anything like since, like, Parents Don't Understand and all that. You know, his early.
Yeah.
You know, when
his early bangers.
Yeah, with DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Dude, yeah, who was on Fresh Prince, too.
Was he?
Yeah, he was the guy who kept getting thrown out of the house by Uncle Phil.
Oh, awesome. Great. I forgot.
Yeah.
Fresh Prince is
burned into my brain as a show that I would watch, you know, at like 8:30, because my parents were not paying attention to what I was doing. I was like, I should watch this Fresh Prince show on Nick at Night. Because how young I am, that it was on Nick at Night by the time that I was, like, watching TV. But anyway, yeah, I think that Will Smith was very good in this. I do think that Jeff Goldblum was very good in this. He's a very good actor, you know?
And he just got to Jeff Goldblum his way through it.
It is hard to think about, like, watching that movie and not knowing who Jeff Goldblum is. Like, imagine you didn't know who he was. You'd be like, why is this guy such a big deal? Jeff Goldblum, dude.
Well, that's the thing, is Jeff Goldblum, he just gets into this range where he's just able to just be Jeff Goldblum, and
he wasn't really acting. That's kind of unfair.
Exactly. He's not really acting. He's just being himself, and everybody just trusts that he's smart and he knows what he's talking about, and the women in the audience are the women and a good portion of the men in the audience are, you know, just
getting
instantly trust him because they're getting jiggy with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Any other standout things from the movie that you want to talk about? We're a good chunk into this podcast. We normally try to shoot for 30 minutes.
Yeah, but there's not, we don't need to push. We don't need to force it.
We're going to force 30 minutes.
Well, that's the thing, is this film was too long. It was another 2 hours, 20 some minutes.
What would you cut? I'd probably cut a good bit of the action stuff at the end.
There's so many characters that you can cut out of it that you could just naturally. There's an easy 15 to 20 minutes that you can get out of this.
Could you get this to a tight 2 hours and have it be a more successful movie? I think that's unquestionable.
I think that might be a little bit rough just because they've got that much that's there, but you can definitely get 15 to 20 out of there pretty easily.
Well, speaking of cutting things off before they become stale and you don't want to listen to and or watch them anymore, I think that about does it for us. Next week, Eric, what are we watching? Are we watching are we watching Jurassic Park? Or are we going to watch Jaws? Because both are on the table.
Well, we did discuss that we're kind of doing themes, so we're going with summer blockbusters. And both of these have been July 4th ones. And similarly, it wasn't quite July 4th, but Jaws is the original summer blockbuster.
It is. However, I'm going to propose this to you. Since we are talking about doing themes, since we're talking about doing like 4-ish episodes per theme, if we do Jaws, we then can't do the movie I wanted to watch after Jaws without skipping Jurassic Park, because it doesn't make sense to go from Jaws to Jurassic Park to the movie that I wanted to do fifth, I guess.
We can find a link to Jurassic Park still.
We can. Mm-hmm. Well, let that be a teaser for all of you. And I guess watch Jaws for next week.
Yeah.
Okay, we're watching Jaws.
Alrighty.
All right. That's,
Take care.